Hi everyone, welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. Every divorce is unique and the reasons people get divorced are all completely different. Everything from cheating to, you know, drug or alcohol abuse to growing apart. Every couple has their own unique story. But what's the same, I think, in all divorces are the feelings that people have, the common feelings of fear, fear of change, fear of loneliness. And then besides fear, there's anger, bitterness, resentment, sadness, mourning your divorce. And today I have a great guest with me to talk about the top reasons that people get divorced and how to cope with each. And her name is Jenny Stevens. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Jackie. Thanks for having me on. Hello, everybody.
I'm so glad you're here, Jenny. And the reason Jenny is perfect to talk about this is because Jenny is a therapist and a divorce coach. And she sees a variety of clients who all got divorced for different reasons, but like I said, have all of these feelings that are similar. Would you agree with that, Jenny?
100%. I mean, there's universal feelings that everybody feels. You mentioned a few of them, such as fear, anger, resentment, joy, whatever it may be. But we know universally every human has and experienced those emotions.
I'm so glad you said the word joy because you're right. Some people are so happy to be out of a marriage. I mean, I would say most people.
Yes.
At some point.
Yeah. I mean, there might be joy. I mean, the feeling relief comes to mind because there is relief usually, whether it's relief at the beginning of the divorce, during, post, or after. But relief is a, you know, I call, I always want my clients to name the feeling and label it, because once we name the feeling and label it, it's much easier to address and actually experience that. So relief is a feeling that most of my clients feel at some point during the divorce process.
Okay, so before we get into the reasons for divorce that you've seen with your clients and how to cope with each one, mm-hmm. Let's go over your credentials so people know how wonderful you are. So
sweet.
Well, it's so true. I mean, you're extremely credible. You spent several years counseling, I think 15 years working as a therapist. In addition to being a therapist, you are also a divorce coach. And tell me why you decided to become a divorce coach.
Well, that's a great question. Like you mentioned, I've spent nearly 18 years in as a therapist in predominantly a private school. And then, you know, I don't believe in accidents. And so some things happened in my personal life. I got a divorce and I got a divorce a few years ago. And when I got my divorce, I promised myself and my children that I would not let this be the worst thing that ever happened to me nor them. And once I made that declaration and affirmation to myself and my daughters, I basically was on a quest to make those two truths become truths and realities. And based on that, people started reaching out to me and saying, can I have your help? How did you go through the divorce and keep you and your family healthy, et cetera, et cetera. And then, so that was one major pivotal moment for myself. When I turned 45, I looked in the mirror, no joke, and said, I don't want to live this way any longer. And so I believe in change and I believe in significant change. And I believe that we can all accomplish what we set our minds out to do. And then secondly, Jackie, is during COVID, as many of us, I'm sure, experienced when COVID happened, at least in my personal experience, I looked at my life and looked at things that I started my own private practice simultaneously while working at the school, which was a fantastic professional fit for me. And then at the end of this school year, which was last May, I decided to resign and spend my time focusing on what really makes my heart sing and really what I believe I'm here to do and serve. And that's to be a therapist to both families and adolescents, and then to help people navigate the divorce process in a different way, which is why I'm also a divorce coach.
Well, it's such a wonderful combination. And you and I met several months ago. And the first time I met you, you came over because we have lots of mutual friends.
Yes.
I didn't just invite her over blindly. But we have a lot of mutual friends and business people in business that we know together. And I sensed immediately, Jenny, when I met you, such a good energy. Like, you're just so positive. You're not just smart. You're extremely intelligent, and you know what you're doing from a therapy perspective. But I think if I was looking for a divorce coach, it's equally important to have somebody who emits positivity and is going to guide you and set the tone for your beautiful future. And you give off that karma. I mean, you just do.
Well, first of all, thank you. It's important to take a compliment when it's hard for me to say thank you, because it's kind of hard sometimes but I really, really, truly appreciate that. When I met you, you were equally warm and inviting and similar. Like, you, I can tell you love what you do and you're really good at it. And I appreciate that. And it is important to have a sense of warmth and like inviting sort of nature. But I truly, truly believe in change. And I truly believe I'm just a glass half full kind of human. And so when folks want to make changes, I always, you know, I don't want to change somebody's personality or disposition, but I always say focus on the end result, focus on the end result. Now, I don't minimize that life is hard and we are meant to go through hard things. So those who are listening, it's not like, oh my gosh, you're not going to succeed if you're not a glass half full. But I truly believe in the work that I do. I try to help guide people to see an opportunity or to see a different side of the coin.
Let's move on to the reasons people get divorced and how to cope with each one. So you wrote an article for Divorce Girl Smiling that was called The Top Reasons for Divorce and How to Cope with Each. And I'm going to just go through and list all of these, and you just kind of explain each.
Sure.
If that sounds. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with your host, Jackie Pilisoff. That's me. And my guest, Jenny Stevens, who is a therapist and a divorce coach. And the name of her company is Create Change Consultants. And you can find Jenny and read her articles on Divorce Girl Smiling or at createchangeconsultants.com. So here we go. Top reasons for divorce and how to cope. The first one is the kids go to college, empty nesters, and then parents say, we have nothing in common anymore.
Yes. A lot of times, for those of us who have kids, we're in the grind. It's like a hamster wheel. You get married, you have kids, and then before you know it, the kids are 5 or 6 or 7, and you've gone through some of the hard stuff of just like having small children. And then you go through middle school and high school, and the kids have activities and this, and we're off to, you know, X, Y, and Z. Some marriages get into the high school when their kids are in high school, between like 14 and 18, and they look at each other and they're like, maybe we aren't so perfect together or so good together. We might have different interests. We might have different values or goals by then. And so in my experience, I found that, you know, many people decide to get a divorce or separation during those high school years and or when the kids go to college.
And for those kind of clients, how do they cope? What are they thinking when they come to see you if that was the reason?
They cope by, you know, having those sort of tougher discussions around, do we stay or do we go? And so, you know, I think those couples make some big decisions and they reevaluate where they want to be in 1, 3, 5, 10 years. And some marriages don't make it. And then they either, you know, divorce and part ways, hopefully more amicably than not. But it is one of the big reasons why folks get a divorce.
So are you saying that you have clients who come to see you who aren't sure what to do? They say, like, we've really drifted apart. I don't really know.
Yes.
Okay. Second reason people get divorced is no sex. So tell me the clients who come in and say, you know, I'm getting a divorce because my wife never wants to have sex with me. I never feel we're not connected in that way. I don't feel attractive. Like, tell me what they're thinking.
The bottom line is this. I first have people or couples or partners understand what each other's love languages are. Gary Chapman wrote a great book years ago. And basically, if we don't understand what our partners or spouses' love language is, things can go, you know, grossly awry. Or, not to be gender specific, but sometimes men want more sex than women, but it certainly can go the other way around. So, for example,
the no sex bleeds into many, many other issues of resentment.
That's
because
right.
Because I think it's exactly. So hurtful when someone doesn't want to have sex with you, especially men, I think, feel this way. They feel so hurt. Well, I shouldn't even say men.
Rejected.
Very rejected, unloved, unwanted, horrible for self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right, Jackie. So I know, and some of the research I've done is when a person, I don't want to only say men, when a person doesn't have their sexual or physical needs met, the rejection and self-pity are two of the highest feelings. Typically, it's the, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? Why doesn't that person want to have sex with me? And so when we let the physical intimacy take a backseat, and this can happen over days, weeks, years, months. I've seen it happen over years. And then the erosion of the lack of the physical intimacy really, really can derail a marriage. Sex is a way of connecting, and without prioritizing sex and or physical affection, some people leave a marriage because of that. Cheating is a taboo topic, but a lot of people do it. And so when people find out when your spouse or partner has cheated, it can just lead, I mean, many people just are like, you know, screw it, I'm getting a divorce. Affairs are a symptom of something else. I'll repeat that. Affairs are a symptom of something else that has been either broken or not addressed in the marriage. And so we know that if a partner is having an affair, it usually results in another problem. And unless someone's a sex addict, but most couples cannot recover from an affair.
Right.
It's really, really hard to build that trust back.
Okay. Now, Jenny, do you ever get clients who come in and say, okay, my husband or my wife had an affair and that's why I'm getting divorced? And how does that person feel? I mean, how do you cope with that?
So what you're asking is the person who has found out that the other partner or spouse is having an affair. And usually that person is so mad and so feels so betrayed, all of which is completely fair. And they usually say, I want out, I'm done. Some couples get, you know, this is called a fair recovery, and some couples can work through it. But more than not, Jackie, it ends poorly because it goes back to the trust. And depending on how long you've been married, the trust is very difficult to restore.
And I would think if you are trying to work out your marriage and your spouse cheated, I would be the kind of person who would be so paranoid all the time that I couldn't even enjoy the marriage. I'd be looking like, you know, why did he get a text at 11 p.m.? Who is it? You know,
so I don't mean to laugh is because, you know, I'm human. And if that happened to me, I'd be the same way, because like trust is paramount in relationships. So if the trust has been broken, if you've been in a 30-year marriage and there's been an affair, it's really difficult for the other partner and furthermore to get past it. But also I have to mention, for the person who had the affair, it's also really hard on that person. And there's tons of, you know, workshops that try to help these couples, but more than not, the couples end up in divorce.
You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, divorce coach Jenny Stevens. We're talking about reasons people get divorced and how to cope. Another reason is COVID. So tell me how you experienced that.
Okay, so COVID, you know, is a global pandemic, and it forced a lot of people to reevaluate their lives, myself included. So much time at home, so much time with kid, like we are not meant to be at home that much, right? And so some marriages didn't make it because one person had the time to reimagine their life, and that person's growth might not have been supported. Secondly, couples who weren't that happy decided to leave and make different, maybe it was different values. They wanted to move. They wanted to have a different job. And so, and if your goals and values aren't aligned, some marriages say, you know what, this isn't going to work. And some of the people that I've worked with are like, it's okay. We really want different things. Couples either withstood some of the challenges, or they decided that their marriages were better off apart.
Okay, I've read a couple articles that COVID helped couples get closer also.
Yes, that's happened, because guess what? What those articles are about is that given the amount of time that you know, they or we were, you know, in the home for that many hours, what that did is it strengthened their bond. Maybe they were creative. Maybe they learned how to make puzzles or do things that they never knew that they could do together. And then they found more connection. This is about connection. And,
right.
You know.
Okay. Moving on to the next reason people get divorced is one partner is unhappy, like personally unhappy, or feels stuck or feels dead. And it has maybe nothing to do with the other partner.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so this is when a person wakes up and they either feel like, I am super unhappy, I'm not happy, I'm going to change my life. And they might feel suffocated, they might feel dead inside. I know when I did it at 45, I was like, I looked in the mirror and I said, I can't do this anymore. And so when the other person doesn't support that other person's growth of, the growth of quote unquote being unstuck, or quote unquote desire to be happier, desire to travel, etc. There are just times that they find themselves in a space where they're better apart.
There's two things I want to say about this. The first is sometimes someone's unhappy and they blame the other person when it really isn't the other person's fault. Now, that didn't happen with you, obviously.
Right.
But
right.
What I'm saying is, you know, maybe an alcoholic will say, well, you're the reason I drink.
Happens, you know, all the time.
Right. So that's the first thing I wanted to say. So if that happened to you and your partner was just like, I'm really unhappy, that could be it. Second thing is, people are constantly changing in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that you could love someone so much in your 20s, and then by the time you get to your 30s, you're two completely different people.
100%. I mean, we know, at least I know, I'm in my late 40s. I mean, the person I was in my 20s versus my 30s versus the 40s, vastly different. So again, it goes back to growth and how we resolve conflict. So what you're saying is, it's really actually easy to blame some. It's much easier to blame a person than to look in the mirror and take ownership and responsibility for who you are. And so what you're speaking about is when marriages change over years or decades. And to your point, Jackie, is if you've been in a 10, 20, 30 year marriage, you might be vastly different. And I would argue that everybody is.
I think people are constantly changing. And if a couple doesn't change together, that could be a problem and a reason for divorce.
That's right. And remember, just to your point, you were different in your 20s than you were in your 30s and 40s. Okay. Mm-hmm. And again, it's about either growth together and supporting growth or not. I mean, you and I both know a handful of people who are high school sweethearts who are still happily married.
Right.
And we also know plenty of people who were married for 10 years and those marriages didn't work out. You and I both know plenty of 20 and 30 year marriages that either are happily married or presumably happy and content. And then sometimes we know the 20 and 30 year old marriages that just simply don't work out. And we know by research that shows we all know more than half the marriages end in divorce. And I believe it's because people change over these decades, and it is okay. I mean, you were saying you beat yourself up. It's just okay. Like we've got to give ourselves permission. It is okay to get a divorce. We are not a failure, but at times our change is so significant that folks decide that they're better apart.
Right. Okay. I want to move on to the last reason, mm-hmm. of course, that we put in this article. And this is a biggie: domestic violence and or substance abuse, addiction. And I want to tell the listeners out here, if you feel like you're in danger and you're scared to be with your spouse, you owe it to yourself to address the situation however you need to. Right, mm-hmm. Jenny? I mean, this is serious.
Absolutely.
We're not fooling around here, especially with COVID. Domestic abuse is up.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is up. And these are extremely serious problems, and love yourself enough to get help.
Yes, I mean, these are real issues. And I mean, sometimes these are non-starters, okay? Non-starters, meaning sometimes marriages just have to end because there's a safety issue. There's either abuse or, like you said, DV, domestic violence, and those are non-starters. And, you know, that's a whole different podcast on what to do and how to get out in that.
If there's anybody listening, give me a couple tips to what can they do? Where can they start?
So with domestic violence, there's a domestic violence hotline, which I recommend that person calling, and then they walk them through how to get out of the domestic violence. They also can go to the police station and get help there. If there is ever physical or emotional or sexual abuse, you have to call, the Child Protective Services, you know, ASAP, if not, and at times, if there's physical abuse or domestic violence, call 911. That's why we have 911.
Love we'll yourself your enough to do it, and don't be afraid to do it. It's your life. Right. It's the lives of your children, and it's not acceptable.
Yeah, and the other piece, I mean, Jackie, the addiction piece and the substance abuse piece is that if the person, if your spouse or partner refuses to get help and the addiction's unhealthy and unsafe, when I say it's a non-starter, it can be best to leave the marriage, especially when this addiction is untreated, especially if there's children in the home. Kids know, you guys, kids feel things and see things when we don't even know it. So do yourself not even a favor, but do it. I mean, just like you said, do it for you, and your kids will appreciate it, despite how difficult it can be.
And Jenny and I are both not saying it's easy. It's the hardest thing in the world.
Hardest thing in the world.
Love yourself and your kids enough to face it and do it.
That's right. That's right.
Jenny, at the end of your article, you gave some quick tips for coping with divorce. And the first one is be kind to yourself.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
So I say go easy, you know, be kind to yourself. We beat ourselves up so often because we don't get the to-do list done. We don't do this. And then we either, you know, shame ourselves. It's called the, you know, the woulda, shoulda, coulda club. Don't should or shit on yourself. I should have done this. Give yourself a break. Okay. It doesn't mean you have to be perfect, and doing nice things for yourself, whether it's taking a walk or getting a massage, calling a friend, eating more healthily, watching a funny Netflix, but, you know, be kind to yourself and nourish yourself.
And how about this? The laundry and the dishes will still be there in the morning for you to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's exactly right.
Okay. Next thing is surround yourself with supportive friends.
Yes. You know who you can count on. I always say, many of us say, find your tribe, find the people who lift you up, and we are the combination of the five people that we spend the most time with. Remember
Ooh,
that.
Oh, I love that.
We are the combination of the five people that we hang around or spend the most time with, whether it be texting or calling or FaceTiming or spending physical time with them. I mean, I tell my daughters all the time, does that person make your heart feel good?
Oh, okay. I love that. And does also, how yourself... about getting rid of the toxic people?
Yeah, you know, this is a great time of year, Jackie, to look at your relationships. I say to my clients all the time, are these healthy relationships or are they toxic relationships? Because if they're toxic, I say, you know, I mean, again, I'm 48, I'm going to be 50 in a year and a half, which I can't believe. And I'm at a point where I'm like, hey, you know, if it doesn't feel good to my heart and it's toxic, I can say, you know, it's okay to say goodbye to friendships. I mean, we don't have to be jerks about it, but it's very easy to say to your own self, That's a toxic relationship. I'm going to have a good, healthy boundary and spend much less time with that person.
Okay. Next tip, visualize a new and different life. How do you do that?
So you have to visualize and know where you're going. Okay. So whether you want to be divorced in 10 years or be in love in 5 or have a new career, you have to know and understand that once you visualize and see a different life, that's like the first and foremost thing. And then again, you safeguard your happiness and you look at your end goal and be careful of the negative self-talk and limiting beliefs, because, you know, at rest, we're always like, it's called the imposter syndrome. We're like, can I really do that? Are you sure I'm good enough? Oh, wait, what? So you have to look at like the negative thoughts that are going through your head. And then I would say interrogate them all and think the opposite.
Okay. I also want to add that when we say visualize a new and different life, you don't have to know exactly specifics what that is.
Like, that's right.
It takes a long time to figure out what you want to do and what you want your life to look like. But what Jenny's saying is know the basics.
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, like, but Jackie, it could be as easily, easy as, as a picture, a color. It could be like I always tell my clients, like, just like you said, it doesn't have to be like a well thought out business plan, but where I'd ask your listeners, where do you want to be 1 year from today?
Next tip, accept that this is an emotional roller coaster and that things will level out.
Yes. So this is temporary. Getting a divorce is one of the most, top five stressors ever. Okay. And when we know we're making significant changes, such as a divorce, we have to accept that it is temporary. Now, I can't tell you how temporary it's going to be, but once we accept that the weathering the storm is your only choice, the good news we have to accept is that it's not going to be this way forever. In fact, things will get better. And potentially they make it better. They might get better sooner than you think. But if we can accept that it's temporary, most people feel a little comfort with that.
Even though it's a roller coaster, there are some really good times. Your life mm-hmm. isn't going to be completely miserable throughout your whole divorce. You're going to have some really fun times. There's a lot 100%. Of good that happens too, and a lot of empowerment moments of self-actualization of, wow, mm-hmm. I can't believe I did this. So there's a lot of good, I think, that happens during that roller coaster too.
Agree.
Totally okay, agree. Last tip is don't feel like you owe a full explanation to anyone. What does that mean?
Okay, I love this one because Jackie knows me and I'm kind of a ham and like to have fun with things. So everybody, when you get a divorce, everyone goes, like when I got my divorce, they were like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I mean, they looked at me as if like there was a death. And again, it is a huge deal. I'm not minimizing it. And I didn't understand why people looked at me like as if like somebody was dying. But I understand now why people look at me like that when it was going on. But I want to empower your listeners to say, it's perfectly acceptable to say, I'd rather not talk about my divorce right now. Instead, just shift the conversation to the other person. You know, the other person's like,
you could say something like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be fine. And we don't have to talk about that right now, because I think there's a difference between saying, I don't want to talk about it because then things get awkward, or we don't have to talk about that. Tell me how you're doing. How's Joey doing in college or whatever? You know, if it's.
Yeah, good point. Good point. It goes back to boundaries. I mean, you can say whatever you want. If you feel like being like, things, I used to say things are, moving in a different direction, and, the girls and I are fine. And then I would just like shift the subject, or I would just like look at them and like pause.
And, I love that you wrote this, because think about it. You don't owe anybody the details or any.
No,
you don't owe
no,
anybody.
No.
And I remember when I was getting divorced, I got so many phone calls from people who wanted the scoop. And I really believe people do that because they want to see if their marriage is in trouble. Like, it's not really mm-hmm. about you. They want to say like, ooh, I hope this doesn't happen to me. So what do you think? I wonder what it is.
Yeah. And they also think, I mean, like Jackie, let's be honest, we are curious as human beings by nature. And so divorce is a big deal.
This has been so great, Jenny. You are so good at what you do. And I love the fact that we talked about this, because it's so important for people to know that there are so many reasons. Everybody's story is unique, and there are so many different reasons for getting divorced, but we all have similar feelings no matter what the situation is.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And Jackie, it was an honor. It is an honor and a privilege to know you and to be on your podcast. And thank you for having me.
Well, Jenny, I feel so happy to be partnering with you and recommending you to people, because I think that you are so helpful. Like I said before, you are warm, you are caring, you are bubbly, full of energy, and you have some great, you say these things that make people think about what they want and figure out what they want after their divorce and during, because that's really one of the hardest parts of being divorced.
It is.
So
it is.
Thank you for being on the show. Everybody, you're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilosoff and my guest, Jenny Stevens. And her company is called Create Change Consultants. Jenny's a divorce coach and a therapist. And if you want to learn more, you can go to createchangeconsultants.com. If you want to read more articles or listen to more podcasts of mine, you can go to divorcegirlsmiling.com. Jenny, thanks again. It was great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Jackie.
Okay, bye, everyone.